Welcome to the Subtle Reformation Podcast. We're so glad that you can join us. I'm one of the hosts, Ben.
And I'm Stephen. And we're really glad that you've joined us to listen to us muse about formation and what it means for who and how we can be in this world.
Well, and welcome back to the Subtle Reformation Podcast. It's great to be back. It's been a little while, but we've all had a little bit going on. And it's good to be back with Stephen and Julia this morning. In fact, guys, this morning I might throw over to Stephen. Stephen, you said that you had something that you wanted to say to our listeners this morning.
Oh, and to you too, guys. It's been an incredibly demanding couple of months. I thought, you know, once the funeral was over, you're sorted. But there's just so many other things that you need to do and you need to continue doing. And I think, you know, I have these great mates who go, Stephen, you should have taken 6 or 8 week break, you know. But you think, oh, you know, I can sort it out in a week. I can sort it out in 2 weeks. I can keep going. But we probably needed a longer break, which is evidenced in the fact that, the last time we were supposed to record, I slept all the way through the alarm, which is a big deal. I'm a very light sleeper, and the slightest things tend to wake me up. But yeah, sleeping all of the way through the alarm and missing our last session, and then having to scramble about to organise another time, and you guys being incredibly gracious. Thanks to you guys, you know, Tom, Julia and Ben, for being so gracious and giving me the room that I obviously needed. I realise now, looking back, I needed, but I didn't at the time. I could have soldiered on. And then, of course, I mentioned to you guys, I've actually been contacted by a few listeners during the break, some who are wanting to use our podcast in different contexts. And I always find that a little bit hilarious. When people find you or what you think or what you have to say useful, it's like, oh, it's not just the ramblings of a mad person. So thanks to our very gracious listeners as well. So that's all I wanted to say before I kicked off.
Great. No, that's good. That's good. I mean, today is our last episode of season 2 and kind of our wrap up of our contemplation journey that we've been on for, you know, many, many weeks now. And so we're just going to reflect on the experience of what it's been like for each of us to go through it. So, Julia, we've just heard from Stephen. So why don't you kick us off in terms of some of your reflections on what this contemplation journey has been like for you?
Well, I just wanted to add my thanks to all of you. It's been amazing to be part of this this whole thing, and you don't know when you feel nudged to say, you know, just to reach out and say, look, I'd like to be part of it, but you know that obviously it's asking, and then being invited into that, I had no idea really what, you know, that period of time, particularly in Melbourne, was going to be like. And I look back on it, you know, did a little bit of reflecting over, went back through the different episodes, and just, you know, realized how there's so much richness to it. It's one of those things that, you know, that you need to go through a few times just to sort of mine the, all the amazing wisdom and gems, especially a standout is Peter Bentley and his his particular session or episode, you know, being aware of the unseen influences that lead to life liberation, and I just loved his he's so refreshing, just the, you know, the reframing of some of the taking some of the kind of weighted religious wording out of it and just helping us to see that, you know, God is trying to lead us to greater life, you know, fullness of life, and, you know, really free us, and so we can be ourselves, and so we can be a gift to the world. I mean, that's not Peter's words, they're mine, but you know, and then once you start noticing what's sort of drawing you away from that, and then what's leading you towards it, that's a fantastic awareness to have. And but I've just really enjoyed all of you, Ben, Stephen, and Tom, just sharing your vulnerability, you being able to be so open, and which, you know, is a lovely thing, I think, for I'm not going to get into genders, because I'm surrounded by some absolutely fantastic men and women. But I think there is something to be said of men who are willing, or, you know, males who are willing to just, you know, have that sense of being more open and letting people into spaces in their lives that is, you know, it's, yeah, sort of opens yourself up to kind of hanging in that liminal space a bit. Like, I'm not really sure what's going on, and but I'm open and open to God and open to others. And I've just really appreciated a lot of that as well. It's, I mean, it, you know, in so many ways people are feeding into our lives. Like, this whole thing has been, because I've been in a transition, a bit of a life transition, you know, with our young adult boys moving out. And I know people can get all, you know, big about, oh, it's such a big life transition, but it is, because I've then moved to another, you know, place geographically in Melbourne to really start something new, and just to have a bit like an adventure, just to have your companions, you know, with you in that sort of along that journey. That's what this has been for me. It's just, well, God always gives us with far more than what we might have come in and said, oh, I'm doing it for this reason. Mm. And mine was really that I loved what you guys were doing, but also really wanted to just, you know, lend my voice and some of my experience, because I'm happy to be a bit of an open book to, you know, the ups and downs of that, but just so that we can become whole, so we can become, you know, a beautiful, healthy, transformed self, to be in the world as an agent of peace and healing and, you know, renewal, rather than being destructive. But the gift, you know, multiple gifts, but the gift has been that you guys have, you know, there's been a rhythm to each week, particularly and doing the actual engagement, that has been a gift to me, because sevens are renowned for being all over the place and just, you know, either fall into a pit of despair and, you know, it's all crap, and or we're bouncing around everywhere like Tigger, thinking, oh, it's all good, everything's good, I'm great, you're great. And so I think just to have that grounding, that consistent rhythm, and, you know, knowing that all of us were doing these things together, and then needed to come back and report, gives you kind of accountability. So yeah, that's my, thank you. I've just loved it. I really have. And I hope that something that has been said has been of help to others, but it certainly helped me.
Yeah. No, that's good, Julia. That's great. Thanks so much for sharing that. Stephen, what about for you? What are your reflections on the journey we've been on?
I remember years ago being forced to watch Mr. Holland's Opus, that movie. And like, it was a little bit corny. It was a little bit contrived, but, you know, the premise is this guy wanted to do this with his life, but his life kind of goes off in another direction. And I'm pretty sure that this is where I first heard the quote, the John Lennon quote, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. I don't know if you've heard that before. But when I look back on the duration of this season, we did this in about as the most severe circumstances that you could think of. We were under, I think, the world's most extreme lockdown measures. Having said that, though, what is it, Julia? It's like 14 weeks with zero cases. Is that right? Yeah. We think we've actually eliminated COVID from Victoria. It's really bizarre going outside thinking, ooh, you know, do I need to put my mask on? I need to social distance. Ooh, people. It's really nice interacting with other people. So that was, I mean, that was about as extreme a set of circumstances as you could get, a pressure cooker. And then my own personal circumstances on top of that, during season two, drifting into, you know, higher states of joblessness. So, you know, this contract disappears and then that contract disappears and all of the financial pressure that puts on you, not to mention all of the issues around your sense of self-esteem in terms of, you know, the kind of contribution I can make to the world. And then, of course, on top of that, just when we got to breaking point financially to land two incredibly lucrative contracts. So that all happened in the midst of us recording season two. And then the totally unanticipated accident and eventual death of my father and having to confront a whole lot of things. I mean, this is about as extreme as you can get. And I know that there was some significant, you know, Julia, you were mentioning that there was the transition from being a family with kids to empty nesters, and then a change, a shift in location, and also a shift in vocation as well. And Ben and I, you and I haven't really touched bases, but I'm sure there's been some significant things going on for you and Tom as well. So I just wanted to acknowledge we've done this in the most difficult of circumstances. And I also want to highlight what Julia said. So many times when I just felt like, you know, giving a great big, you know, F you to the world, I thought, oh, but I'm doing this with others. And the sense that we're part of a group of people trying to do this has also helped. I want to say helped ground me, but I find that, you know, these phrases, you know, mindfulness, being grounded, you know, we're just being grounded. Like they tend to be disabused of their meaning, but it really has been a grounding experience. So having said all that, going through this experience, once again, I realized just how highly addicted I am. And in some respects, it's actually been quite demoralizing. I used to be part of a blokes group. There's a couple of blokes I've mentioned, not necessarily by name, so many times, both season one and season two. The first home I went to that wasn't my home after our restrictions were lifted was the home of one of these guys. And I met with the other guy as well. So the three of us got together and we had a drink and we caught up. And I was so giddy and so excited. And it took me about 15 minutes to realize, oh, this is the first house that I've been in that's not mine since February. That's why I'm so excited. And it was really interesting being in this blokes group again, because it looks like we're going to kick this blokes group off. We've been meeting together virtually. And it was amazing seeing how much I've grown, but it was amazing seeing how much I'm still the same as well. Some of the roles I just fell into, some of the habits I just fell into. And whoever coined that phrase, you know, we are creatures of habit, I get what that means.
Yeah.
And the whole notion of breaking habits and developing new ones, it's hard. It's hard. And I think it's hard at any time in our life. And there were moments where I felt incredibly helpless at just how addicted I am. And still, you know, even yesterday, something I did, I just went, that's just a reaction. But I saw it. Up until yesterday, I saw the fact that I'm addicted to a certain way of being. And I saw it with such clarity. And similar to you, Julia, the words of people like Peter Bentley and others in my head, and it's in those moments, those words and what we've learned, it can either condemn us or it can be a gift of grace. And it's really interesting because we had an incident yesterday, and we're still fighting as a family. One of my children's names is River, and I said out loud, you know, the reason why you're not having sandwiches today is because whoever used the last of the bread didn't pull a new loaf out of the freezer and put it into the bread bin. And everybody was saying, stop blaming River. And I'm thinking, what do you stop? Because they heard whoever as River. And so we had this fight yesterday. And I've been painfully aware that I've felt like I've had to constantly defend myself. No, I did not say that. I said this. You are all wrong. I am right. Do you see what I just did there? The one on the Enneagram? Rather than leaving well alone, you know, guys, I just want to point out that, and then catching myself in that behavior and just thinking, woe is me. You know, the thing I want to, you know, that beautiful, painful passage in Romans, the thing I want to do, I do not do. And the thing I don't want to do, I do. Who will save me from this body of sin?
Yeah.
And then you tip from Romans chapter 7 into Romans chapter 8. It's grace. And something really beautiful came out of the experience of my father dying. I remember saying to another dear friend, I felt like because of my commitment, and when I say commitment, my choice to love, and to love my dad and to relate to him in a certain way because of dignity. You know, he's a human being made in the image of God. I wanted to treat that person in a particular way, but I've struggled because I found there are times when I look back on some of those decisions and some of the things I did, and I think he didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve that kind of treatment. And that's been a very real point of distress for me, bouncing between I behaved in a certain way. I behaved in a way that I don't regret, but the kind of regret I do feel is when I think about did he deserve to be treated in that way by me? And I remember my friend saying to me, that's grace, mate. That's what grace is, when somebody treats you not on the basis of what you've done to them, but on the basis of their inherent dignity. And so when I find myself wanting to correct my family and say, no, I said whoever, not, I still feel that twin. Oh, I'm like, am I, like, I'm running a freaking podcast. I'm writing a course on this stuff. Like, when am I going to get this? When am I going to, I can either beat myself up and condemn myself, or I can view this as another moment where God has come to me disguised as my life, where God meets me again and says, look, mate, in spite of all of the ugliness that you see, I'm still here and I'm still committed to you. And if you want to do something with what you can see, I'm in. And trying to, rather than be overwhelmed by feelings of being demoralized, being carried away on this kind of giddy grace that God is still here, God has met me, and God is still interested in transformation, probably until the day I die, if I'm up for it as well. So that's you know, if I can quote Dickens in closing, Ben, it's been the best of times, it's been the worst of times. So that's been my experience, mate.
Yeah, wow. That's great. Thanks for sharing. That's really, really cool.
How about you, mate? You've had some pretty crazy things happening up in Queensland as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, trying to do this whole journey, it's been interesting seeing like the difference of where we're all at. Obviously, for myself, we have been like out of lockdown for ages. Like it's been nearly 6 months now of being out and about in increasingly extravagant freedom. So it's been interesting in terms of hearing you guys talk about it. Often it seems like in close proximity to you know, family and dealing with that sort of dynamic, where I'm trying to navigate this in terms of how do I make this happen now that I'm kind of back to a more, you know, normal life and schedule and rhythm and routine. And that's probably been one of those challenges in terms of it's always amazing how quickly the calendar fills and how easy it is for you to have reasons and excuses not to do it because you're busy or because you don't have time or you just don't even have the headspace because all of a sudden you're thinking about what's happening tomorrow or you know, you're coming to it in the morning and you're trying to figure out what's happening later that day. But I think for me, it's just been a good reminder again of the importance of slowing down and reflecting just in all of this. I think that's, it's always the thing I come back to, and there's always value in it. There's always something that you learn maybe for the first time or that you're reminded of that you've kind of previously forgotten. And so for me, that was one of those things in terms of I've been reminded of the value of this. I knew it was good. I knew it was valuable. I knew it was important, but it's one of those things where it's been like, okay, I've in the break, you know, the couple of years since the last time I did this, I've forgotten the immense value and worth of sitting, being still, like noticing what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, and then actively being able to choose another way. Yeah, has been incredibly helpful for me. Yeah, so that's, they're kind of been my major reflections. I mean, there's obviously some things I wish I'd done more of, like probably the last 3 or 4 weeks I've fallen off the old bandwagon again in the midst of just busyness of work and life and, you know, preparing for all things Christmas. But at the same time, when I have stopped to do it, it's still been a valuable experience. I think for me, there's been that kind of realization too that, you know, I don't want to use performance language, but, you know, you're going to get better results. And I'm doing the thing with my fingers, you know, better results, better engagement, I guess, the more regularly you do it. But even for me, it's been like, actually, when I feel like I'm having one of those days where I'm a bit, you know, stressed out or a bit overwhelmed or feeling like, you know, the pull to reactivity, it's actually okay to just stop that day and try and find some space to see, hey, what's going on? What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What am I feeling compelled to do? And is there another way here? Like that's actually okay and valuable as well. It doesn't have to just be a daily experience. So that's been good.
I've got a couple of things I want to say in response, Ben.
Yeah, great.
Not right now, but in a second, I want to ask everyone, you know, if we could do it all over again, you know, if we could go back in time, what would we say to ourselves, you know, 10, 12 weeks ago? The one of the questions I had for you, Ben, is, and it's difficult because it's a subjective question. But how would you rate the difficulty of engaging in the exercise? Was it easier the second time round? Was it harder the second time round? Was it a bit of both? Like, how would you compare this experience with the one you had a couple of years ago?
That is a good question. I probably would have said it was harder this time because of some of the extra complexities with life stuff. I feel like I did mine last time when I wasn't in a global pandemic where the world was consistently changing. So something about that definitely made it different. I think just because of the fact that there was a whole bunch of unique factors that were completely different and just different stages of life. Like my wife and I, we're a one car family at the moment, and that actually creates some challenges in terms of there's some mornings where I'm not even going to work, but you know, I need the car for something else later in the day. And so all of a sudden I'm leaving at 6:15 and spending an hour in the car, and then I got to come home. And then, you know, if I am getting ready for work, got to get ready for work. And all of a sudden it's impacted the amount of time that I've got.
So, who put that stupid for worse line in the vows?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so there's been some of those kind of factors just in our life that have that have made it more complicated. But then I think the other thing that's made it more difficult is I'm a little bit older and a little bit more aware of the ways I get it wrong or my own, you know, patterns and brokenness. So there's a little bit more to confront at the same time. When I last did it, I was like 25. And so I had a bit of an awareness and some stuff obviously came up, but, you know, being married and, you know, moving into state and trying to start, you know, relationships and friendships over again, you kind of pick up on some of these patterns that you're like, oh, actually those people back home in Victoria, they just had accepted me for being a jerk sometimes, you know, but these people up here don't have to.
Look, I'm compassionately going, wow. And Julia's cacking herself over there.
Yeah. I noted it. I've noted it. But yeah, so there's probably been a couple of those things over the last few years that have just brought some extra awareness and some things that you're dealing with, which, yeah, it's probably just made it a little bit harder is the wrong, I think the wrong word, but a little bit more, I guess, confronting and a little bit more of a reminder of, oh yeah, like, you know, this is a lot of work for a lot of years to, you know, continue to, you know, be transformed and change who we are. So yeah, good question though.
So feel free to pass on this next one. This one's for everyone, but you know, if you could do it all over again, what's one piece of advice? What's one thing you'd, What would you say to your 12-week, you know, 12 weeks, if we could go back in time 12 weeks and have a chat to us, what would you say? And I'm not going first because I haven't thought of the answer yet.
I was going to say, Julia, do you want to go first? Because we're just looking at Stephen and I.
Ladies first, hey?
Yeah, exactly.
I have to give a shout out to Tom because I have often, I mean, it was just a throwaway line of Tom's, but I'm a 7 in the Enneagram, as you know, and he is as well, but he is, well, yeah, half my age at least. So I just, when he said something to the extent of, I like myself, or I've thought about me and I like me. And I just remember, because I think it was right in the midst of just again being, because I'm often, I don't know, I think I can get really serious because I've got quite a strong 8, and I get into this kind of, you know, I've got to know what I'm doing, I've got to, you know, move forward, it's got to be right. I think I just wound myself up so much in that. I felt like that was, because you know, when something reminds you, it's like the spirit is just constantly drip feeding something into you. And so I'm going to answer the question, by the way, but you know, in a roundabout way, because the auditory processor. But you know, Tom's comment about the there's something about that kind of resting in yourself, resting in, you know, you're aware that you've got brokenness, or you've got, you know, whatever, you're a hot mess of all sorts of stuff. But to just be able to rest, I think that's what I would, I mean, because I now feel like actually that shifted something in me in the process of this, praise God and thank you to you guys as well, has really shifted into, I just try too hard sometimes. I'm just trying to work it out, trying to, you know, sort out everything, trying to, you know, safeguard or work out, okay, what am I going to do with that and this and this? And I've just felt like God's just like, just slow down a bit, just, you know, don't try so hard, which sounds like a, you know, probably in some ways, I don't mean that you don't do anything, but just that resting in, you know, it's okay. I'm loved, I'm accepted. I do have issues. I do have all sorts of stuff, but somehow to just find rest for your soul. So that that would be the thing that I would be telling my, you know, myself many, many weeks ago.
Thanks, Julia. How about you, Ben?
I think I'd tell myself that little bit that I just talked about earlier, that, you know what, it's okay if you don't do it every day, but just find a way, like you said, to show up. And that actually just showing up is enough. I think there was probably times where it felt like, you know, like I missed 2 days at the start of the week. And then I was like, oh, well, this is a write-off. Rather than just being like, yeah, that's okay. Like, even if you just do it the 2 days before we record, like there'll still be opportunities for, you know, you to learn and to grow and for God to speak and you to have something to offer. But I think that was probably a bit of a mindset that sometimes felt like, oh, well, if I'm not going to be able to do every day, I'm not going to be able to get real value out of it. So that was probably something I wish I'd had a little bit more graceful. I mean, I tend to be like all in, which means then I'm like trying to go, you know, hard in the sense of, okay, you know, if this is what we're doing, I'm all in, I'm going to do every single day and I'm going to do, you know, 10 minutes every single day, no matter what's going on. Like, and that's kind of what I tell myself. And then, you know, you miss your first couple and it, when you're all in, you're like, oh, well, this feels like a big, big fat failure. So, so yeah, probably a little bit of that extra grace and, you know, a reminder of the value of even just doing it a couple of times is still better than not doing it at all. So that would have been helpful to tell myself, you know, just in the, you know, hey, in the coming weeks, when you do miss it, don't give up on it. Like, get back into it and just see what happens.
Yeah. I'm glad I asked you guys to go first. I was racking my brains and thinking what to say. And between both of you, I remembered, you know, when we look at spiritual disciplines, as in, you know, Rowan and I, when we work together, we map them to the various Enneagram types and we talk about each one having a gold medal event. And it's ironic, you know, it's not you win, it's the hardest thing for you to do. And for the one, it's celebration. And I think what I would say to myself is when you do it and when you have a moment, so similar to what you like, not do it every day, but when you do it, and when you do it and something positive happens, actually pause and celebrate rather than looking at the litany of all of the places you failed. Look at the places where you actually succeeded, in inverted commas, just to challenge and subvert my own notion of what is success and what is failure. And probably something that I've heard both of you say, not just then, but this morning in total, the sensei who runs the dojo that I'm part of is about 10 years younger than me. And I hate when they start or use the word just in a statement when they're directing us. You just need to do, it's like, yeah, I just need to lift my leg that high. I'm 10 years older than you. And one of the black belts there, one of the senseis, his name is Steve as well. He's actually a little bit older than me. So I can take it when he says just, because he knows what it's like to, you know, to fall down on the mats and to stand up the 90th time that night. He knows the toll it takes on your body. And I remember one time I was trying to do something and he came over and he's got this wonderful look on his face. He's very, I bet you $1 million he's a 7, Julia. And he comes over to me and he says, Steve, remember, if you can't do it slowly, you can't do it well. And right there, mate, there's the ninja wisdom right there.
Yeah.
If you can't do it slowly, doesn't matter how fast you do it, doesn't matter how many times you do it, if you can't do it slowly once, you're not going to be able to do it. And I think I'd probably say that to myself based on not the last few minutes of what we've said, but also listening to both of you over the totality of this morning's episode. So yeah, I guess that's just a long way of, you know, saying go slow. Again, you know, one of those crappy statements that you hear people say, you know, just let's just go slow. Let's hold it lightly. Let's, you know, all those cliches.
Yeah.
But it's true. Even though it's a crap cliche that people disabuse by overusing, it doesn't mean it's any less true.
It's good.
Do we need to stick a fork in us, Ben? Are we done?
I think we're done. I 100% think we're done. And so on that note, we closed season two. It's been a season unlike any other with everything that's been going on for each of us. But
oh, dear Lord, yes, it has.
It's been special as well. It's been good. But yeah, well, on that note, listeners, we want to thank you for joining us throughout season two. We hope you found it helpful and beneficial.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Don't forget, you can reach out and get in touch if you've got any questions or comments or anything else you want to say. But we want to thank you for doing the journey with us over the last, you know, however many weeks and months of going through what is formation and going on this contemplation journey together. But that's it. That's us for season two. We hope you're doing well. And we'll hopefully talk to you again soon. All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.